Amen. Thank you so much. May we not stray too far from Calvary. And again, thank you so much for being here. We're excited about this. I wanted to mention that we're always trying to help people in their spiritual walk and their growth. And we are looking forward to, in 2 weeks from today, having a baptism Sunday. And so you say, well, can't we do that anytime? Well, we can. We get ready. But 2 weeks from today on the 20th, and if the Lord has been working in your heart, you're saved, you know the Lord, but you've never followed Him in believer's baptism, we've got some lined up for baptism on that Sunday, and I'd love for you to be a part of that. And you say, what's the requirements for being baptized? Well, the biblical requirements are that a person's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And the scriptural question was, "What here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Nothing yet thou believest with all thine heart." And so we'd love to see some folks follow Christ in baptism, but perhaps that's you. And sometimes we find that it's easier to do it when there's a group doing it. And so we're looking forward to that on the 20th. And then we've talked to several folks that have been praying about and are ready to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and I'm so thankful for that. And we are looking forward to bringing some folks into the membership here real soon. And so if that's you as well, maybe you've come for a long time and you think, well, this is the place that God has put me in. I'm all about God. When God puts somebody in a church, for them to go ahead and get the paperwork. If God doesn't put you in here, the paperwork does very little good. But if God's put you in here, then we would certainly like to finish that up. You say, why do we even have to do that? I went to church when I was a kid. We didn't have to worry about all that stuff. Yes, and the world has gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. And it is a shame that we have to have so many legalities that we've got to consider. But we do. And so I just say that as a plug for the invitation at the end of the service. If God's work on your heart, I challenge you to take that step. When God starts moving on you, you better start moving out. Do what the Lord leads. And so we're thankful for that opportunity. We're looking this morning at Job chapter 1. In Job chapter 1, we'll look there. And as you find your place in Job, Job is right before Psalms. If you have trouble finding it, Psalms is easy in the Old Testament. So large, it's the book right before Psalms. So Job, Psalms, Proverbs, right in there. Job chapter 1. While you find your place there in Job chapter 1, I did hear this story about this police officer came up on this wreck. Whole family had been in this car, only a single car run off the road apparently, and didn't hurt anybody, but they were all knocked out. They were all unconscious, laying there, but it didn't look like there's no blood, there's no anything like that, but they were all disheveled in there. And the policeman, the couple of them came up on there and wanted to find out what was going on, what happened, what caused the wreck, where what was happening. And so they walked up there, but everybody was out, knocked out. So they're trying to ascertain from the scene and all of that, looking. Well, lo and behold, there was a little monkey. He was jumping over there around the car, over off the side. And the one officer said to the other, I don't know how we're going to figure out what happened here. I don't know what this circus monkey is doing here either, but he said, I don't know how we're going to figure this out. And the monkey kept doing this, pecking his little chest. And the officer said, you know what happened? He shook his head like that. He said, well, can you tell us what happened? And he said, look down there. And so he looked at the dad, the obvious, apparently the dad, the older man. What was he doing? And that monkey went. And he looked at the apparent mom over there, the adult lady, said, what was she doing? She said. And he said, there was a boy and a girl. What were those two doing? And then eventually the officer said, what were you doing? So, if you see that monkey driving around, let me know. Well, it's good to be in church. Thank you for being here. If you're joining us live stream or you're listening on the radio, this is Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church right here in Gray, Tennessee. We're so thankful that you've joined us however you came, but it's good to see each of you this morning. Now, I realize if the joke was on radio, you didn't get that part, but go back and watch the video. Job chapter 1, the Bible says this. I'm going to preach a message entitled, The Struggle is Real. You know, we use that phrase a lot. Boy, the struggle is real. Sometimes we're sarcastic when we're talking about something that's not really that bad, but we're acting as if it is. But this struggle is real. In verse 6 of chapter 1, Job, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves for the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, this dialogue now that we're going to look at between Satan as he's accusing the brethren. The Bible says he does that, accuses the brethren. I like what one old preacher said, men, he was teaching a seminary class, said, men, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Let's not try to take his job. That's pretty good advice. That's what Satan's doing most of the time, accusing us. We don't need to join forces with him. Here he is, accusing and putting down the faithful. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." I would to God that we were all that way. Perfect meaning mature and good and wholesome. Perfect and upright, fear God and escheweth just means avoids it. I wish we were all that way. Then Satan answered and the Lord and said, Does Job fear God for naught, for nothing? Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? And thou hast blessed the work of his hands and his substance, and it is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself," that means his person, Job, "put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. I want to preach for just a little while about that. The struggle is real is the title of it, really. But I want to get a few points, and we're looking this morning at this dialogue between the God Almighty and Satan that accuser of the brother. You say, "Do you know how all that works?" I do not. But I just know the Word of God is true, and he said he came to, to accuse to God a person that was doing right. And I want us to look this morning about what happens in regards to us, and then I also want to finish up with the idea of how we ought to finish on. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Give us these next 20 minutes or so for your furtherance in our life, dear Lord, of what you want us to have. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give you 3 points. Each one of those, I want to go from this passage and give you a New Testament passage that seems to sit so well with it. And I trust that before we're done, the Lord would use it to encourage you like he encouraged me. You ever notice that's the best sermons that you can ever hear? If the Lord will do a sermon in a preacher's heart, evangelist, missionary, whoever it is, if you'll find one that has a work done in his heart, and then he would give it to you, it's a whole lot more effective than the one that just says, "I'm going to play spiritual basketball, Lord. You give them to me and I'll toss them over to somebody else." My wife and I talk about that sometimes. You go somewhere and us, we're guilty of it as well. We say, "Preacher, hand me that truth. I know the person over there really needs it." But the best messages are when the Lord works on our hearts, me, and then I can just share with you what he gave. And I trust that that's what will happen this morning. I see, first of all, the attacker is looking. Look in verse number 7, if you will. The Bible says when God asked Satan where he'd been, he said, "I've been going to and fro, up and down. I've been looking everywhere for somebody." The attacker is looking this morning. It'll be a little dark at the beginning of this message because it doesn't sound too uplifting, but it's true nonetheless. The attacker is looking, and the attacker being Satan, the wicked one, devil, the old slew face, the old slew foot, the rotten one, the deceiver, the accuser of the brethren, that wicked smutty face, that's the one. He's looking, the Bible says. The attacker is looking. The New Testament verse that most of you would know that I would link us to is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, also as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." That means that as I live my life this week and I try to interact with my wife, Amy, as we went to this couple's retreat, and everybody, we had a wonderful time at the retreat. I challenge you to go next year if you're able to as a married couple. We had a wonderful time, but you know what will happen this week? The devil will be trying to get in between Amy and I. He will be trying to get her to be unkind to me and speak mean to me and not give me all the things that I want. That's the story of my life. And I sure hope some of you ladies will be able to encourage her to do what I need and give in to the whims that I have. The devil's really working on her. Truth of the matter is, the devil's working on all of us. And as was brought out this weekend in the couples retreat, but those of you who aren't there, let me give you this truth, and that is this, that whatever God authors or organizes or orchestrates, then Satan is against it. That's why he hates this church. That's why he hates any church that holds up the Bible and preaches it, because it's thus saith the Lord, and he's trying to work desperately against anything that the Lord wants. And so I'm telling you this morning that the attacker is looking. He's looking for you, and he's looking for me. But worse than that, he's looking for your kids and your grandkids. He's looking for those that he can devour, the Bible says. Let me give you this statistic, or this study that was done in 2019 by Iowa State University. They were looking at the effects of alcohol advertising. Now, this study would not be so bold as to say that alcohol was wrong and or anything like that, but it's just specifically done on the study of the advertising done by beer companies. This is what one of the writers said in this Iowa State University study. Advertisers use humor, animation, funny voices, and special effects that appeal to youth. But what does our government say? Nobody under 21 is supposed to drink alcohol. But advertisers are appealing to youth. Dr. Gentile, the study leader, said this: if you look at beer ads, advertisers are using all the tricks that we know work at grabbing children's attention. They put millions and millions of dollars in it. Some of the best advertisement is done on products that are rotten, so much so that the 14 alcohol companies, the top 14, spent $3.45 billion on marketing in 2011. It was a few years before the study. $3.45 billion with a B. And you say, why would you bring all that out? I'm saying this morning that Satan is on the attack. Because you don't even have to hate alcohol to see the destruction and the damage that it does in the lives of people all across this world. Yet we know all that, but still we put out all of the advertisement, all of the marketing to try to get another generation hooked on something that will take their, that will inhibit them, and that will take their mental processes to a place it ought not to go. I'm saying the attacker is looking, and if the devil can't get a kid or adult, for that matter, through alcohol and drugs, then he'll get him through some kind of illegal activities. If he can't get him through illegal activities, then he'll get a kid or a teenager through a rebellious attitude. And then the devil's pretty smart, really smart. If he can't get you through a rebellious attitude, then he'll go after your teenager and get him through a holier-than-thou attitude. Boy, I'm thankful I'm not like so-and-so. So, there's plenty of people that the devil's not bothering in our churches because they're not bothering him. And I'm saying this morning that the attacker is looking whom he may devour. Make no mistake, Satan's after our kids. Satan's after us. Satan's after your marriage. You say, boy, you're a bleak preacher this morning. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm just trying to warn you that all the things that are put out, even in our media and in all of our social media, much of it is trying to get us on a track that would be worse or less than the best that God has for you. The attacker is on the loose. The attacker is on the hunt. And you said when you grabbed your wife by the arm and we walked in, when she came down the aisle to marry you, you said that I'm going to love her as Christ also loved the church. And now you're a picture of Christ in the church, and Satan doesn't like that picture. And so I see this morning that the attacker is on the look. I'm going to come back to in just a moment to verse number 8, but I want you to look first in verse number 12. Even in this attack, God's in control. Look at verse number 12, if you would. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Satan was unleashing all this horrible stuff on Job. And if you've read the story of Job, the book of Job, you'll see all the things that happened to him, losing his family, losing his fortunes, losing all those things. But God said, you cannot touch his body to kill him. He touched it by putting boils and that on it, but you could not touch him to kill him. And so I'm saying this morning, yes, the attacker is looking, and yes, he's after us, and yes, he's after your family, but even in the attack, God says he's the governor, as far as when the governor says that it can't go any further than that. by taking you to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13. But God is faithful, who will not suffer us to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. I have so many people come to me and say, Pastor, you know, I'm beyond my breaking point. And I know what they say, and I don't say this right back to them in an unkind way, but I do say this in a loving way. I say, no, no, sir, no, ma'am, you are not, because God will not let you get past that point that you can bear. He will with the temptation also make a way to escape. And I bring you this morning, I know that some of you are downhearted. Some of you are going through more than you think is physically possible for you to bear. Some of you think that it's been too hard and it's been too stressful. And my heart goes out to you, and we're praying together, weeping together over things. But let me give you hope this morning that God Almighty is watching the situation, and He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. You say, well, preacher, why does God even allow these things? Because God knows what's coming down the road. And if He don't let you go through some things today, you will never be ready for what comes on the morrow. Amen. Didn't you used to do this with your kids when they were trying to learn that monkey bars, that jungle gym? They walk across there, their little arms weren't strong enough to hold up their body, but you said you could make it, and they went one, two, barely got three, but they had six more to go. And you as a dad stood right below them, say, I'll be here to catch you. I will not let you go to the ground. I will not let you fall. You go as far as you can. But He was there. I was looking on YouTube for something, and you know how you'll be looking for something on the internet, and then if you're not careful, 45 minutes later, you're 17 subjects off what you really went for. All of a sudden, I'm finding out where all the characters are still left from the Andy Griffith Show. And I started looking for a sermon illustration. But it went from here to here to here to find out that Thelma Lou's still alive. What do you know? I don't know how I got to it, but I got to this one thing. It was on YouTube, and it was a rubber band, watermelon rubber band challenge. And that was these two guys took this watermelon, and in the middle of this table, they had it propped up. It was sitting long ways up. And so they had a whole stack of rubber bands, and those guys would take that rubber band, put one on the center, then number two, and then number three, and then it fast forward for 25 minutes later, they were still putting rubber bands on there. And you know what happens eventually. After there enough constriction got from all those hundreds of rubber bands that they put on there, then that thing finally collapsed on the inside and spewed watermelon everywhere on their face and on their clothes and everywhere. That's what the video was intended to do, see how many rubber bands it took. And then those rubber bands just all balled up together and bounced off to the side, but pieces of watermelon were everywhere. You say, what good is that story? I don't know, but it was pretty neat to watch, because after it happened, they put it in slow motion and they saw all that stuff spewing everywhere. No, I'm telling you that because I don't know where your watermelon's going to break. I don't know what the breaking point is. And God may be letting some things squeeze you right now, but He won't let you get squeezed too far. I don't know what you're going through, and probably nobody else in this room does either, but I do know who knows. I'm reminded of a story when somebody pulled on the church parking lot, and the pastor of the church came out there, and some guy had never been there. He says, "You the guy that's got all the, you know, you the guy that knows what's going on around here?" He says, "No, but I know that man. He's our Savior, Jesus Christ." And I'm just saying this morning that even in the attack, He won't let you or me be tempted, squeezed above what we're able to bear. I give you this third one is this. First, I tell you, unfortunately, the attacker is looking. But even in the attack, God's in control. He won't let it go further than you can bear. He'll give you the strength to go through. You say, I don't have the strength to go through. If another thing comes my way, I don't think I'll have the strength to bear. That may be true, but before that next thing comes, God will give you a little bit more strength. And then I give you number three, God plans for you to continue through this problem without quitting. Long point, but God plans for you to continue without quitting. You say, where do you get that? I want you to look back at verse number 8. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." I say God plans for you to continue without quitting. Here's the scenario. Job was the best of the best of the best. And God allows Satan to get unleashed on him. Now the naive Christian would say, well, I don't want to be top dog then. I'd rather be somebody down below. But God said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? And where I'm getting this point is, I hope that you can see this, it's not a leap, but that is that there's nowhere in that verse or any other of that dialogue that indicated that God thought or that God needed Job to pull back and quit through all of the trouble and turmoil that Satan was bringing his way. I'm saying this morning that whatever you're going through, whatever's bombarding you, whatever's happening to you, I don't believe that there's a retreat in the vocabulary that God gives to the Christian. Oh, sure, you may have to pull back from some opportunity. You may not be able to do everything that you used to do. Your health may dictate that I can't teach that Sunday school anymore or class anymore. I can't pass that church anymore. I can't do this. Yes, your health may dictate that. I was talking to Preacher Lashley. He was coming down the hall the other day. He was just talking about praising the Lord for some of the things that he got out of the Word of God. And here's a saint of God, a man of God that's walked with the Lord for all these decades. And what does he do now that he's retired from the pastorate? He's going to keep on in the Word of God. There's no discharge from this war. And my friend, I'm saying this morning that God has plans for you to continue even during the attack that Satan's putting on you. I told you that I would give you a connecting verse in the New Testament. John chapter 16, verse number 33 says this with Jesus speaking, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Meaning that whatever problem comes your way, I did that and then some. You know the saying that we have now, we've been there, done that, and what? Got the t-shirt. Well, my friend, I would never bring the Lord Jesus Christ down to our level, but he has been there. He's done that. We have a Savior that can be touched with the infirmities that we're going through. And I'm telling you this morning that God's plans for you didn't stop when Satan started attacking. God's authority in your life didn't stop when the devil started hurling fiery darts at you. God's plans for you to continue through the problem without quitting. God didn't allow you to be in the midst of this problem so that you would drown. God didn't allow you to be in the midst of the situation that is going on so you'd have to stop. God said, I'm going to empower you, push you, help you, give you the strength to get through the problem all the way through to the other end. You remember when Lazarus was sick and Jesus wouldn't go see him? It was so to the bemoaning of Lazarus' sisters, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Jesus said he comforted her there, although she didn't receive it right at the moment. But before that happens, in John chapter 11, verse number 4, when they told Jesus about Lazarus being sick, he told them, this sickness is not unto death. Now, did Lazarus end up dying? He did. But it's wonderful when you have the way, the truth, and the life walking around. He can put life back in anybody he wants to, and that he did. But he says this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. That the Son of God might be glorified thereby. We know the story. Lazarus did die, but Jesus rose him up. Can I tell you that Jesus apparently let that whole scenario show forth just so that he could show up, show out, and show off his power? And we wonder why God allows things in our lives, because probably God wants to show up, show out, and show off his power in your life. You say, oh, I don't think anybody should show off. If you've got holy motives as the Lord Jesus Christ, everything you do is right. And so we say show off, that's prideful. But when I say show off in his in reference to him, that means he's just displaying to the world who he is. And I say to you this morning that the problems that you're going through, just as Jesus said about Lazarus, this sickness isn't unto death, but it's for the glory of God. And this problem that you're going through this morning is there, very much there, for the reason that God is going to get glory out of it. But my friend, what you and I need to do is keep going forward. We need to keep on going so that the power of God can be shown in our lives, in our problems, in our difficulties, in the satanic attacks. But if I stop, then I'm not giving glory to the Lord. So I'm saying, my friend, to you, yes, I know it's tough. And yes, I know there's problems galore. And I don't even know the half of what some of you are going through. But I'm telling you this morning that God wants to empower you to go through that problem, not get stuck in it. You say, but I've gone through this venture and that venture, and I had to close that business, and I had to stop this. I'm not talking about the specifics. You may have to change things because that makes the most sense in whatever situation you're in. But I'm talking about you as a person, you as a family, you as a couple. God wants to empower you to go through this problem. He didn't bring this problem to you, or allow this problem, rather, to come to you so that it would stop you and let you not be a glorifying individual anymore. He allowed that problem in your life knowing that He was going to give you the wherewithal to get through the other side. I feel like I'm on an errand from the heaven this morning to tell you, you can make it, my friend. I don't know what's going on. I don't know the problems that are going on in your marriage, but I'm here to tell you that you can make it. God didn't cause your problems, but God did allow whatever comes your way. It had to go across His desk and get the authorization. And so God didn't cause that problem, but He did allow it to come. But I'm telling you, if you're having trouble in your marriage this morning, you can make it with the help of Almighty God. It may be that you need to hear from somebody on an errand from heaven that says, you and God make the majority in whatever's going on in your life. I know that it's not easy getting settled in where you are. I understand that the job pressures get so hard that you think you're going to break. And I understand that some of the families in this church, you've just had one health issue after another health issue after another health issue. But I'm telling you this morning that by the authority of the Word of God, that He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will go with you through everything you're going through. And my friend, God didn't bring you this far to let you stop now. This problem that you're going through very well could be like Lazarus was. It's there for the glory of God. And my friend, I just wanted to give you that this morning. The struggle is real. The satanic attack is never, I don't think it's ever been equal to what's going on right now. But my friend, our God has never lost one bit of His power. And you can make it. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, you challenged me this week and told me what things we're going through. You're going through them with us. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. And Lord, I pray that my friends that sit in front of me got encouraged like I got encouraged. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would lift that person right now up that's going through some of the darkest times of their life. You would lift them up and shine the light on the inside of their heart and let them know that problems come and problems go, but our Lord never leaves us. And Lord, I pray that you take that marriage that's teetering on the brink of divorce, and you'd give two people the authority unleashed in their soul today to say that what God had put together, let not man put asunder. And Lord, for that young person that's having a difficult time, it just seems like everybody's against them. It seems like people at school don't like them, and seems like their home life isn't too good. Would you, dear Lord, love up on that young person and let them know that when they walk through that dark, deep, lonely valley, they are not alone. And I pray that you would give strength to my friends today, dear Lord. And we will certainly thank you for what all that you do. Here's our invitation. If you're a Christian and God has spoke to your heart to encourage you, I want you to seal that with a prayer and tell God, thank you for speaking to me. Thank you for bringing me today to give me the strength to go on. And then if you're here today and you're not saved, I didn't preach specifically on that, but my friend, Jesus came to die on the cross for your sins. He did that 2,000 some odd years ago, all for you and for me and for mankind. If you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, would you just, when we stand, just step out and let me or somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home? And maybe there's somebody in that other category I mentioned at the beginning of the message. You saved, you love the Lord, but you've never been baptized. Wouldn't you want to announce it to the world, that faith that's inside of you? And you do that by following Christ in baptism, and maybe you'd like to do that. Maybe you're here and you say, this is my church. It's been my church for a while. God's already confirmed it. I need to do some paperwork down there for the ladies in the office so we can get this taken care of. Then you come and join Buffalo Ridge. Come present yourself for membership at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Whatever your need is, please don't walk out these doors without doing business with the Lord. Would you stand together as they play? I have decided to follow Jesus. Friends, that's the only trip I want to take with the Lord by my side. If you're here today and you're not a member of Buffalo Ridge, but you'd like to be, would you come and present yourself for that today? If you're here and you're not baptized, you're saved, you know the Lord. You say, I just never did get that done. Maybe you're like me. I got baptized when I was a kid, but I got saved later. I want to be baptized after I was saved. The altar is open for you this morning. Would you come? My friend, if you've been beat down, beat up, beat down, worked over, I hope this morning God has blew some air in those deflated lungs of yours, spiritually speaking, and just let you get a good breath of how good He is. No turning back. Praise the Lord. We've decided to follow Jesus. God, thank you for the chance to be in your house this morning. And dear Lord, I pray again that you have done in the hearts of some people what you did in my heart. Lord, this thing isn't unto death. This is for the glory of God. Lord, this problem that we're going through, we are going through it. Lord, we're not under the circumstances. Lord, we're going to walk above them because of you empowering us. And as our object lesson of Job showed, that you were with Job and you empowered Job every step of the way, even through the worst that Satan could put on him, Lord, you'll help us. And I pray that you would. Lord, I pray a blessing on this crowd. I pray that you would help everybody with what they're going through, that you would give them the strength, dear Lord, to look to thee through what's going on in their lives. And Lord, we'll promise to give you praises on the other side. And we'll, dear Lord, tell somebody of how you carried us all the way. Bless in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. God bless you. May look this way. Thank you for being in church. Tonight, I want to invite you back. There's several exciting things happening tonight, one of which Brother Mariner will be here, and you'll be to see his video and as he goes to Suriname. And I want you to just get in on what he's doing. And then he'll get to introduce his wife again, and then we'll get to meet them and know them a little bit as a church family. And then I'll bring a message as well. Trust will be a blessing to you about keeping your family in the way. And then we'll also, I believe, we'll probably announce some other things about some mission stuff that we'll meet with the deacons about today, and maybe just an opportunity for us to be a blessing to some missionaries that are serving the Lord faithfully. So we've got a lot happening tonight. 6:30, invite you back for that, but please be praying one for another. God bless you. You're dismissed.